If you'll open your Bible to page 955, we want to look at some little words that Jesus had to say. And I want to talk today about the badge of a Christian. You know a badge. We all know what a badge is. Really what a badge is, it's an emblem that says what someone maybe does more than what someone is, but in a way it's what someone is as well. For example, a policeman wears a badge on their shirt. And you see that badge and you know that that person is a police officer. Sometimes a badge is a uniform. For example, I think about a nurse. You know, they have their uniforms they wear. When you see them, you know they are a nurse. Or sometimes you see an airline pilot. You'll be in the airport and here comes somebody. You don't know who they are by name, but you know they're a pilot or a co-pilot. They're wearing a pilot's uniform, or a flight attendant. You know, they're not always dressed exactly the same, even on the same airline, but they all have what they wear while they're working as a flight attendant. And then doctors. You know, if you're in the hospital, you'll see doctors with their white coat. And if you've ever noticed, some of those coats are shorter than the other coats. And I've always known that the longer coats were, these men are doctors, and the shorter white coats, they are medical students. They've not yet graduated from their medical training. So you pay attention when you're back in the hospital. The shorter white coats, those people, now, they're probably the ones doing the surgery on you and me, but I want the guy to at least, now they don't come into surgery wearing their white coats, but when you see them in the hospital, that's how you know the difference. I email or I text a doctor in our church. I was going to use as an example today, and so last Friday I text him and I said, it's Dr. Charles Cowles. He's an anesthesiologist, MD Anderson, wonderful Christian man. And I sent him a text, and I said, Dr. Cowles, I said, like, what do they call these white coats that doctors wear? I thought maybe they had. And he texts me back this. Here's what he said. He said, you are overthinking. He said, they call the white coats white coats. And I thought to myself, I deserve more respect than that. But then he went on to say, now you do know the shorter white coats. He said, when you enter medical school, we have a ceremony when we get in med school and where we're given our shorter white coats. And he said, then when you graduate from medical school, you and you've served all your internship, you're now a full-fledged doctor, you no longer wear the long coat. But then he told me something I would have had no way of knowing that I thought was very interesting. He said, at Johns Hopkins University, now listen to this, the senior faculty in med school, now we're talking about the upper echelon doctors, they're now teaching the surgeons how to do surgery, the doctors how to do their job. The senior faculty at Johns Hopkins University wears short coats as a reminder they need to continue to learn. I thought that fascinating. I have a couple of doctors that I think I'm going to get a short coat and tell them that story and see. But you know, well, doctors have to continue. Don't we all need to continue to learn? I don't want some doctor that's not keeping up with what's going on. Well, I found that to be very interesting. Has absolutely nothing to do with my message, but it's just tremendously interesting information. Now, but these coats, their badges, they tell us, these people, men and women, they're doctors. Now, the badge of a Christian, like what do we wear? Well, according to what Jesus said that we're going to look today, the badge of a Christian is that Christians are to love, listen carefully, other Christians. Now, that seems like a given, that Christian people are to love other Christian people. But I'm telling you what, I'm convinced the disciples evidently struggle with that. And I know that you and I struggle with that. It's not always easy to love other Christians. It's really not. And I'm sure they would say the same toward us. But actually, this is the badge, and I'm going to show you how Jesus said that in just a moment. But I must say that my opinion, the church has not done very well with that. That's one reason we have so many Baptist churches. The majority of them are splits from the original church. They got mad over here and they just went over yonder. Now, that's not true 100%, but it's true more than it should be. And then, not just the Baptists, but inside of all churches, if we're not careful, there'll be a little dissension here. Well, now, see, Jesus is very clear. He's talking to his disciples. In fact, if you look in John chapter 13 on page 955, in John chapter 13, all the way through 17, most of this was, well, all of this was spoken on the last night that Jesus lived before the crucifixion on Friday. So all of this happened on Thursday night. The bulk of it happened in the upper room. Somewhere in John 17, after Jesus left the upper room on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that prayer, about a mile and a half journey. And so this was all on Thursday night. Over in the Gospel of John, we read more about this, but it's very, very interesting. Look with me in John chapter 13. Let's look in verse 33. Jesus talking to his disciples in the upper room. He said, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer, and you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you," and here's what Jesus had to say to his disciples. Now they're believers. And he's about to tell them something that you would think would be unnecessary, but it's very, very necessary. It was in this day, else Jesus wouldn't have said it, and it's very needed in our day. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you." Now, let me stop just a moment and say, that word commandment comes from a Latin word, mondi, which is, you hear, you know, we'll have it here Thursday night, our Maundy Thursday service. Now, more liturgical churches, that's a very familiar term, but those of us that are not in those liturgical churches, a Maundy service is a little bit different. The word just is a Latin word meaning commandment. So Thursday night, if you are where you can, we have a great service in the worship center at 7 o'clock. Both our 9:30 and 11 o'clock choir will be together. I'm preaching Thursday night, and we'll have communion Thursday night. It's beautiful, so it lasts about 1 hour, maybe an hour and five, hour and 10 max. And it's just a great way. You're welcome to come if you feel like you would like to do that. You'll be very blessed. It's one of my favorite services of the year. But look what Jesus said. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now, he's talking to these disciples, and he's saying, you guys need to love one another. They had different temperaments. They were, if you study the disciples, I mean, they came from not all the same background, and some were more like John, and others were more like Peter. They were a very diverse group, just like you have among believers today. The diversity is really almost unbelievable. He said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment." You say, "What do you mean a new commandment?" Well, what makes it new is five words that he's about to add here. He said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another." And here come the five words, "as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples." In other words, as you, as a believer, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, as you love other believers, those that are hard to love, those that are easy to love, you just love your brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, "I want you to do that." That makes this a new commandment. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So that is our badge. We don't have to have a cross around our neck. Nothing wrong with that. We don't have to go around, you know, taking our Bible under our arm. So nothing wrong with that. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He said, no, here's the badge you're to wear. is that you just love one another. And I love that song that Jimmy sang. I had that in my notes because back in the 60s, that became a very popular song. You'll know that we're Christians by our love, by our love. He sang it, but like part of it, you just repeat that little chorus. And I remember in the late 60s, when I was in seminary, we'd be in missions class, and old Dr. Cal Guy, that song had really was a pop song. He'd lead the whole class in singing. He couldn't sing a lick, but he'd lead us to sing. We couldn't sing much better. Just a big old room, a bunch of preachers, or going to be preachers, whatever we were. And that song was dear to Dr. Guy. You'll know we're Christians by our love, by our love, by our love. And he'd say to us, guys, you can learn everything this seminary has to teach, but what's going to really make a difference if you'll go out there and love people like Jesus loved people? He's right. He's dead right. As long as you know, sometimes younger preachers say, you know, what would you say if you could do all over again? Tell us what you've learned that we need to know to be a good pastor and a good preacher. I said, it's very simple. It's very simple. Love God, love your church people, and know the Bible. Now, if you'll do those three things, you'll have no problem in it. Just love God and love the people and know the Bible. I mean, you don't have to know everything, but know what the Bible says. If a man would do that, there'd be not a church in the world that wouldn't love to have that man. And what Jesus said to those disciples, I'm giving you now a new commandment. Now, you know, the Jewish people already knew that they were to love God. In Deuteronomy, the Bible told them that. In Leviticus, the Bible says we're to love our neighbors ourselves. But now, here Jesus says in five words, but I'm going to add to that and give you something new. You're to love one another. Believers, loving believers. How? As I have loved you. And that is a very, very different thing. And evidently, the disciples needed to hear that, or Jesus wouldn't have said that. That's why I love that. I think to myself, if the disciples need to hear that, I need to hear that, because sometimes, let's just be perfectly honest, it's not easy to love some believers. They're difficult, especially the hateful ones and the cantankerous ones and the critical ones, you know. Gracious me, you know, sometimes one of the staff members say, preacher, you won't believe what somebody said about you. I said, don't tell me. I'll have a hard time loving them. It's just better that I not know. You know, it's just better that I not know. But seriously, I'm beating myself up. But loving our brothers and sisters in Christ can be a very difficult thing, and it is. And the church, this is my heartbreak, and I believe it's God's heartbreak. When God looks down from heaven and sees the lack of love that believers, or at least those who say they are, express to others who are believers, or at least say they are, and some of the things that can be said and some of the things that can be done, I believe it breaks God's heart. Now, I'm not responsible for that. I'm only responsible, and you're only responsible for what you do. And I ask God every morning, because I never, you know, seriously, except for your pastoral ministry, but like, I never have an idea. Most people that I deal with outside of the pastoral, like in the hospitals and the funerals and the nursing homes, now those are caring ministries, so you're not going to run into much stuff there. But basically, I just deal with problems. Time something gets to me, it means the other staff members, for whatever reason, they didn't get the thing resolved, so now we're going to let the preacher fix it. So I'm just dealing with an impossible before it starts with, you know. And I just ask God, now God, whatever, however this meeting goes, you know, help me to have wisdom to do what's the right thing to do as best I know how. But whatever I do, help me not get, if they're mad, don't let me get mad. Help me not get, do you ever pray a thing like that? God, help my words to be better maybe than their words are going to be. You know, I had a member tell me just recently, said, I want you to discuss a problem. It didn't have anything to do with me, but it was in the church, something they didn't like. And he said, you know, I want you to just know down through the years, you've done several things I didn't like. I thought to him, and I said, well, you know, what you need to understand is I don't really care whether you like everything I do or not. Now, I want to do the right thing, but I said, I don't live my life trying to say everything I do, everybody's going to like it. I try to figure out what God wants me to do, and I'm human, and I'll mess up just like you. But please understand, don't be under pressure. I probably think, well, that meeting got over, that member, I wish I hadn't said that. But I share that to say, I was so proud of myself, I didn't let that anger me. Now, the truth is, I wish everybody liked everything I do, but I'm not so stupid I think everybody's going to like everything I do. But I really don't care. I do care in one way. I really care what God thinks. And if I'll please God, I'll please most people. Now, that particular member, I don't think God could please, so I'm not going to worry about that. I'll go on about my life. But I love the member. Saw the member last Sunday, and they came up and hugged my neck, and I hugged them back. See, I thought, now I'm doing good on this. But now here's what I want to tell you. Before the week's over, the devil will get me blindsided. There'll be Sister Smith or somebody will get me before the week's over. And I'll remember what Jesus told the disciples. You're to love one another just like I have loved you. And I need to do more than teach a Tuesday Bible lunch about that. I need to live that. And I ask God every day to help me do it, and I stumble sometime. How did Jesus love us? Well, patient, unselfishly, forgiving, sacrificial. The truth of the matter is, as Christians, you know, if you're a Christian, people at least know you're a Christian. But we're not evaluated by where we go to church, really, or the size of our buildings, or the frequency we attend church, or whatever we do in the church. I'll tell you how Christians are really judged, really. So I think about people that through the years have really blessed my life. They're just people who've loved me in spite of me. That's right. That's how God loves us. And these verses, I hope you'll remember them, John 13. Jesus said, remember who he's talking to. He's talking to his inner, well, not the inner circle, only Peter, James, John. He's talking to the disciples. And he's saying to them, you guys need to understand something. You need to love each other. Evidently, Jesus had seen a little problem there. Well, when he looks down today at the Christian community, you know, even, let's just get it to the church. You know, like, There are other churches beside First Baptist. They tell me, I don't know where they are, but I see them. You know what? And I've said this numbers of times. We Christian churches need to pull for each other. It's not Baptist and Methodist and the Bible church and the Catholic. I mean, it's Jesus. And like, we need to pray for our sister churches. Because the better they're doing, the better it'll be. And the better it'll be for all of us. But sometimes I feel like we're like sports teams. We're trying to beat each other, outgrow each other, outdo each other. I think, man alive, that's just a million miles from what... Look, I have friends. I even have friends that are not members of my church. I have a few friends in my church. But I've got friends that are Methodists and Presbyterians. I have good friends that are Jewish. Now, we don't agree about who Jesus is. Okay. But I just want to love people. And you want to love people. And I chose today to use this because as we think about what Jesus said on that Thursday night before his crucifixion, I'm fascinated. In these chapters 13 through 16, then 17 is the prayer. You read the last night Jesus lived before the crucifixion with his disciples. John chapter 13 begins Jesus' private ministry. Up to this point, very public. John chapter 13, right on through John chapter 17, his private ministry. And you read that and you think, can you imagine on his last night before the cross, one of the things he told his disciples was, you guys need to love each other like I've loved you. And I thought, that is what I need to hear on this Tuesday before Maundy Thursday. The badge that I want to wear and you want to wear is folks would see in us, even people that disagree with us, even people don't like everything we've done, that's okay. We can love them, and that would be how people will see who we really are. Father, God, like even this morning, Dottie and I went by to handle a little business matter, dealing with people that I don't know any of them, and I'm not sure they knew who we were. But I prayed this morning that they'd just know that we were Christian people, that we would conduct ourselves in such a way that would be. And then, God, I made a phone call to try to get another business kind of issue handled that ought to have been handled yesterday, and it was not handled at all. And today, the man says, I'll take care of it and be back in touch with you in about 10 to 15 minutes, and it's been 4.5 hours. I hadn't heard back yet. Well, sometime today I'll call that guy back. But, God, the bigger picture is not all those things. The bigger picture, help me and help each of us this Holy Week to recommit ourselves that we're going to love fellow believers like Jesus has loved us. And let that be the badge that we wear is my prayer. God, now give us a good remainder of this Easter week. Those who travel, I pray for safety in their travel. Put angels about their vehicles and bring them back home safely. To those of us who remain here, God, wherever we are and however we celebrate the empty tomb, I pray that this week and this Easter will be a very special one. In Jesus' name, amen.